America, loved, hated. America, the concept, the blueprint for humanity.
America, the promise, the silver lining of a mirage that fades as you approach the horizon.
America, a people united. Out of many, one. In God, we trust.
And trust we did. But what has come of all those promises in your back pages, America? Time for self-examination is now, on your anniversary.
Yes, let's. I'll speak for America, and you, as the voice of the world, you can go first.
America, I welcomed you and kissed the ground when I arrived. I saluted Lady Liberty, whose flame shines as a symbol.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
And the one who wrote those words also wrote, until we are all free, none of us are free. America, you thrived in the days of kings, empires, and revolution. Whether faith, power, or reason formed the core. But we have yet to move beyond those days of strife and war.
America has inspired so many nations. Our hopes and dreams lay the documents. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. Dear world, soon change will come and stay.
Those dreams have become mere archives, ideals for a civics class. Why do they never shine on Main Street, or Wall Street, or Capitol Hill? The Statue of Liberty was a gift to America, and since then, instead of erecting statues to the liberty we spread elsewhere, we have become the new colossus of wealth and power to the world.
But the rising tide of prosperity lifts all boats, doesn't it? Peace and prosperity, the Lexus and the olive branch, they must go hand in hand.
But have they? Standing here in our small town, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Look at your own history of this new world. Of how this new world lured dreamers from old world shores,
who, through every stone, blade, and furrow turned, did build a world never imagined before, with free religions, many hearts unchained, and many roads to justice made, many paths to the American way. All this we forged.
A sly temptress was she. And when our labor failed, you made your suitors dare look to African shores for hands to steal and chain. For our dream became a game of more, and theirs a wretched nightmare.
Pioneers on fruited plains.
A trail of tears behind the growing pains.
Both true. Descendants of those slaves also made this land great.
One of whom wrote, I am the darker brother they send to eat in the kitchen when company comes.
But one day, America saw how beautiful he was, and we became ashamed. Countries change. For this same poet believed, I am America.
And right he was. But now we are America, too. America has become more than a country. It's a belief. And we of the world are taking the reins from you. You've grown up. You're at the crossroads. Which path will you blaze? Will you join us or go your own way?
I thought we were helping you.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air, on land, and sea.
No, that's not the America we're dreaming about.
What then?
Then we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that to secure these ends, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Destructive governments shall perish from this earth.
But that same America fought the war on terror for you.
What about Guantanamo Bay? Pretty un-American, I'd say.
We built the Allied Army that won World War II and rebuilt conquered lands in the decades that ensued. History, like America, is full of contradictions.
Like Julia Warren Howe, author of The Battle Hymn of the Republic, she is also the same person who created a Mother's Day for Peace. She proclaimed, "From the bosom of a devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice."
And in the song, she was still singing,
"He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sending out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet.
Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of mercy, charity, and patience.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored."
Ah, the grapes of wrath. What a true American story. That's the America I know. All power, all glory. America, here are words from one of your own, Allen Ginsberg, a communist.
"America, I've given you all, and now I'm nothing. You made me want to be a saint. America, when will we end the human war? When will you be angelic? When will you take off your clothes and look at yourself through the grave? America, why are your libraries full of tears? Are you going to let your emotional life be run by Time Magazine? Your machinery is too much for me. I'm sick of your insane demands. When can I go into the supermarket and buy what I need with my good looks? After all, it is you and I who are perfect America, and not the next world. America, this is the impression I get from looking in the television. America, is this correct? Everybody's serious but me. Then it occurs to me that I am America. We are all America, in the sense that we all want a better life for our children and a fruitful future together.
And it's just that fear of the other clouds our vision and spoils our wisdom. Each year, you and I need to have this conversation and see where we are and where we came from.
Agreed. This next song, for me, personally, embodies the spirit of America. It's called Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen. And when you think about it, would a hymn that's about being bombarded in a fortress be more appropriate for America? Or maybe something about holding on to freedom and your dreams as of your youth as you get older. For me, that's the more the spirit of America.
Whatever was done can be undone. Make this your beautiful life. Make this our wonderful world.
I can see how what we do sometimes doesn't make it all that wonderful. Too many things are just allowed to happen around us. People aren't mean, they're just busy. Sometimes too busy for housekeeping of the American dream.
The world dream, you mean?
Right. So what's next?
We live as if we are America. We must inspire others to become all those things that are America too. And every day we make the world a little bit more wonderful.
With a lot of children, The parents came from Vietnam. The children, many of the children who are older, there's 30 and older, have been born here. And I can sense an undercurrent in the neighborhood of people who are different. Even the people who aren't from a different country, who are younger, you know, so there's a lot of dynamics there in the neighborhood that are changing. And Mark, what I feel called to do is address it. I'm not sure how. Part of it, I think, is through befriending the Vietnamese family, giving them honest advice, because they've already asked me certain things, but also maybe addressing with my other neighbors, my white neighbors, some of the undercurrents that I don't know how to get to, but to be sensitive to it and have courage to address that when the situation to come up, which I'm sure they will.
I truly think that peace begins in the heart of each individual, and I do my best to negotiate, to mediate, to offer compromises to two parties that I think have differences, and try to get them settled. Differences don't go away. They have to be resolved, and they have to be resolved to the satisfaction of both parties. And I really, really try to do that, whether it's between two neighbors or two relatives. The relatives are the hardest to deal with.
It's just a little contribution, but I think during the Second World War, when we protested, we were called resistors. We were not called rebels. And I think we need to clear up the paper and all communication to stop calling people who will fight for their democratic freedom rebels.
Carol Potter, I guess for me it's fighting cynicism and a feeling there's no hope. And getting up the vote. So many people say it doesn't matter anymore, they're all the same, I don't count, I'm not important, my vote doesn't matter. I think maybe the most important thing is making people see it does matter.
Hi, Kane Hundle. I came to this country when I was very young, 3 years old. And I wanted to address something. The thoughts that I hear here, you know, I hear how Americans are struggling, and me being American too, to accept others from other countries. And I thought I would share a little bit of the stories that I've heard from other people who come here to this country. My family came here in the 60s, and we came from Norway, which was a little bit poor at the time. Now it's a rich country. And we're struggling to make ends meet and pay taxes that were at a marginal rate of 50%, which is quite a bit, despite the fact that we were quite poor. And came here to America, and my parents got a car, they got a TV, they got potato chips, and it was incredible the amount of wealth that was here in America. And what was perhaps even more incredible was how much we were welcomed into this country, despite the strong accents that my parents had and their struggles to learn English. They were accepted. Sometimes there was a bit of friction, and sometimes a bit of differences, like when they let me run naked on the beach. They were told in a rather stern voice that they don't do that here in America. So they got me a bathing suit pretty quickly. Other friends of mine, I've had three friends of mine come to America from various countries, and they've all fled their other countries due to economic or religious persecution, and they come to this country, they work very hard, and they are more or less accepted here in America, sometimes more so than they were in their own country. And it's just amazing to me how that they've come here, worked hard, and prospered. One of my friends who came here like 4 years ago now owns three businesses here, three stores here in America. And another friend of mine whom I dined at a very nice restaurant a couple years ago with asked for hot water for his drink. And I asked him, why that? Well, grew up, that's all that we could afford was hot water to drink. And he now has millions of dollars. And he owes it to being here in America. And I just wanted to share those stories.
If the past law suggested that we be taxing people with incomes over $250,000, and I said, well, I've lived 83 years and I never made $250,000. And I felt I had a pretty good lifestyle. And he said, yes, but they've been accustomed to this other lifestyle and they won't give it up. And I think that we're in real serious danger if we allow this concept of negativity to destroy a good president and make our economy worse for a few years so they can win elections. And that might be a serious threat to our overall wealth and our democracy.
So I've lived about a third of my life outside the U.S. And when Laura called me earlier this year to say, do a July 4th service, sometimes I feel like I don't quite know how American I am or if I'm American enough. And so I had to put a different spin on this to sort of show that when you live a lot of your life as an American abroad, what being an American feels like tends to change and get broader. So this has been a real joy. I've always loved coming here and doing these services. And so as we depart, let us carry with us the spirit of America. The 4th of July is not just a day for remembering history and giving thanks for the country we live in, but also a day to reaffirm our commitments to the future we want to make. There's not a left or a right in this story. There's no wrong or right. We've given many examples of people who held contradicting ideas and were Americans. People who wrote The Ballad of the Republic and The Mother's Day for Peace. And there are many other examples of that in our history, that America is all of these things. And we need to find a way to live as people, not just as peoples. So go forth in peace. Thank you.